Welcome to the Office Space Podcast, where we discuss relevant topics that are affecting occupiers of office space. I'm your host, Dougal Jeppy with Colliers International. And today, our guest is Angie Solanki, the National Director of Retail Services for the U.S. at Colliers International. Angie, welcome to the program.
Dougal, thank you so much for having me.
So we've covered a lot of things in the Office Space Podcast, from construction issues, workplace strategy, property management, facility, even furniture. And you're the first person I've had on to talk about retail. And I think it's important because when workers come back into the office space, retail is such a big component. And it really is the intersection, I would say, of what affects us personally beyond the office space. You're going to be dealing with it in your office building or suburban campus. And then you obviously deal with it on your free time. So I'm excited to hear your perspective on things. And I hope our audience will as well.
Agree.
So Angie, if you could just start off and tell us a little bit about your role at Colliers and a little bit about the retail practice at Colliers.
Sure. No, it's a great segue or just overview. So I've been with the organization now close to 10 years, but in the industry now 29 years and have seen quite a bit of change in retail. At Colliers, we have close to 550 retail professionals across the U.S. And it's been wonderful to just interact and hear how markets are seeing retail differently and also similar in certain situations, and we'll get into those details here in a second, but it's been wonderful just to kind of, you know, connect with our retail professionals, whether it be in capital markets, property management or brokerage and project management, just to hear what clients are asking, what clients are needing, and how we can collaborate together, kind of maneuvering or navigating through this new normal.
Have you ever experienced a time like this in your career?
No, this is the first, I must say. I've seen a lot of ups and downs and so on. But, you know, I have to say the one thing that I have noticed, there's a theme. That theme is people being positive and optimistic and working together, trying to find solutions. I think that's the key. No one's really sitting back and waiting for something to happen, whatever that something is. People are actually taking this opportunity to figure out things. How do we solve for whether it's, you know, handling virtual tours or connecting with our clients and sharing various retail trends or what's occurring market to market, state by state, as each state unrolls their, reopening plans.
Right. So the podcast is called the Office Space Podcast. So I'm going to start off with a question, you know, that's really affecting the office employees and office space. What should office workers expect when they return to the office, whenever that is?
Well, I know that there's quite a bit of excitement in terms of the retailers, your national, your regionals, of course, and your small business owners to reopen if they have that, the sustainability or the ability from a capital perspective to reopen. They're anxious to reopen. This is their livelihood. It's also the people that work, the staff that work in these restaurants or coffee bars, et cetera, et cetera. So there is definitely a strong desire. However, I think when you look at the CBD in a lot of these markets, there's going to be a little bit of a slow return. Now, every market's going to be different, right? Right, Dougal, you know this based on what that, what the industry quote unquote leader may be in that office segment. So whether it's technology, law offices, et cetera. And so as people start to shift back, they're going to really evaluate their whole life balance approach, meaning is transportation, under some sort of a regular schedule, or will it be odd schedule where they're going to have to figure out, am I working, 4 days a week or part time, et cetera. The second is going to be, the comfort level of that individual coming back. I'm hearing people really do want to get back into that office space. I think people are tired of working from home under a single roof with all family members, possibly a portion of them going back, you know, doing virtual schooling, et cetera. And so they're looking for that separation, that very destination for office and destination for home, keeping those two areas separate. So, you know, from a lot of people I've been speaking with, both clients in the office sector, as well as not, they're, I think people are anxious to get back.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that. And when you look at the retailers within an office and around an office, do you have any sense of what percentage of these retailers are going to survive this? If we assume that a lot of the employees are not going to be coming back for the remainder of the year, you know, you're talking another 4 months of shutdown, essentially. What percentage and what is, who are there going to be the winners and the losers?
Yeah, I think it really percentage is so difficult because market by market, it's going to vary. My call it work and home offices here in San Francisco, albeit I travel quite a bit throughout the U.S. And speaking in, you know, in terms of my backyard, I have to say one thing that's very interesting. Some of the smaller business owners opened because they had patio seating. This is restaurants. So, you know, they may have one or maybe one to three locations within the CBD. So what they did is they quickly figured out, okay, dine-in is closed. So takeout was an opportunity for them. So they started with takeout. They started second with delivery. And then third, they started with a patio dining. And they got, you know, they have a fair amount of business. Because some people have come back to the office environment. I would say that percentage from what we've seen in our particular office building feels like 5 to 8% of employees have come back. And so when you have that, you really have to look at, you know, those different operators. And so a handful of them have reopened because they've had the ability to quickly pivot and create a patio experience for people to sit outside or to grab and go, to order online through mobile and then quickly pick up and still feel comfortable. What I've also seen, however, is that I've seen certain brands in the coffee space open, shut down, and you know, now I see signage where they're not going to reopen. However, that same brand will have stores open in the neighborhoods. So what they've opted for is instead of having staff come back and seeing a very small percentage of people purchasing coffee, they've decided to not open their CBD locations but stay open in the nearby area, call it a, you know, 2 to 3 miles outside of the CBD in the neighborhood. So they're seeing much more activity there. So that's, you know, what I've seen thus far. I just think people are just trying to figure things out and doing the best they can without creating a poor perception to the customer.
And when you get outside of the 2 to 3 miles of the CBD and start looking at the suburban markets where there's discussion, although haven't seen it yet, of some migration of office out to the suburban areas. And I know every market's a little bit different, but you're starting to see it in some of the major markets. How is that going to be affecting the suburban malls and the suburban retail?
I mean, honestly, suburban retail is very busy. I've been to several non-mall, so outdoor lifestyle centers, and it's quite active. Even power centers are very busy. You know, those that have, you know, your do it at home projects, your Home Depots and Lowe's, etc., and of course all the grocery stores. But one thing I've also noticed is that the patios are just brimming with people coming in, picking up, grabbing. Curbside delivery has increased considerably at a lot of these lifestyle centers, or what I call community centers, grocery drug anchored centers, and so there's definitely been an increase in the suburban. And again, it goes back to, you know, when you stop and think about the majority of people where they're living, you know, these are people that that, you know, maybe aren't very urban oriented, and therefore you're seeing that. Now, when it comes back to urban, you know, the urban locations and urban markets, I think we'll definitely see a comeback for retail. It'll be much slower, but I don't see it going away by any means. People still enjoy working in the city. I have several friends actually, because their offices are closed through the end of the year, said instead of paying rent, I'm going to go back and move in with my parents or another family member and save on rent because I have to work from home right now. But ultimately, once my office reopens, I'm coming back to the city. So they're ready to come back.
Yeah, well, you're in an area that's got some of the highest rents in the country, right?
Yes, definitely. In office rents here in San Francisco, definitely.
And do you find that there's regional differences in how people shop?
What we've noticed is, where you have higher number of cases of coronavirus, you do tend to see some slight shifts in patterns. So, for example, in speaking with a lot of our retail professionals, our brokers in the various markets, there's still a significant amount of activity in our Southeast market, in whether it be in Florida, Atlanta. And then if you move up north, there's quite a bit of activity in the Philly market, Pittsburgh, Central region. We actually, some of our brokers, we just picked up a national retail restaurant tenant, smaller footprint, and they're focused Central region. And so we set them up, got them going, provided them with all the GIS and mapping, and they're looking at this as an opportunity to expand. And so our Cleveland office just had a site tour with this group, and they saw several sites, and I think they've shortened their list to two or three, and they're ready to start writing LOIs.
Right. Now, in a market like Chicago, where the outdoor dining can maybe get through October, come November you can't do that anymore. How are these restaurants in particular going to survive, either in the neighborhoods or, even in the CBD?
We've seen some really unique things. So I've seen this actually in pictures in Copenhagen, and what they did is they actually, because they had some very cold weather at
Well,
the
they're so much hardier than us.
there
I
you
love
go, that
everything
is
that
true.
happened. They can do anything outside
That is
brilliantly.
so
So
true.
I'm curious to hear this. Go
So
ahead.
what they did is they actually created these pods where essentially you kind of walk into a pod that's a two person or four person pod, and then the server, there's like a little bit of an opening, so you still have air coming in and out, and then they're providing, taking your order and serving your item. A group here actually in San Francisco decided to do something similar. And so we're seeing, like I said, there's such creativity. People aren't saying, oh my goodness, let's allow this pandemic to take over and hold us back and cripple us. But instead, I'm seeing such great creativity. And so I actually think there's going to be some really unique things that come out of it. I mean, look at what landlords have done as it relates to using parking lots as an amenity to host outdoor theaters at the comfort of your car, and you can mobile order from the various restaurants or QSRs from that shopping center. And so, it becomes very community driven. It becomes quite, you're kind of helping your community, but you're also helping your small business owners within your own community. And I think that, to me, is really what I see as survival for all of us, whether you're a landlord or a tenant.
And are there any other retail trends that you're seeing or creative ideas that, the audience we should kind of keep an eye out for in the future?
Yeah, I think that there's a couple. I wouldn't call it a trend. I actually think this is going to be a little bit of the new norm. If there are shopping centers that have the ability to densify, you're going to start seeing much more retail convert to mixed use. And then also, I think secondarily, you're going to see, I don't think curbside's going to go away. I think it needs to be a bit more structured or the process in terms of curbside, the location and how cars are coming in and out and how items are being delivered via curbside. I think there's going to be an improvement in that area, but I don't think that's going to go away. I think the consumer is saying, you know, I'm not always going to make a curbside pickup, but I like that option and the flexibility. So the trend that we're seeing, which isn't, you know, this has nothing to do with COVID, this was pre-COVID, is that the consumer's asking for different options to consume or to buy. So different channels, hence omni-channel. And so I think customers are going to ask for, look, I want to buy online and have it delivered to my house, or I want the option to buy online and then pick up in store when I'm out there doing a couple of errands, or have it, you know, as I'm, you know, going to potentially here, you know, picking up my kids from, you know, when they're out practicing baseball, I can quickly run through the curbside and grab something. Or if I'm heading to my mother's house to celebrate her birthday, I have the ability to, again, quickly go to curbside and have it picked up or dropped off into the car. So I think people are just really looking for those different channels. I definitely believe in my heart of hearts that brick and mortar is not going anywhere. We're just really consolidating and right sizing from a US portfolio, because we had quite a bit of supply in the retail space. And so we'll see that optimization occur. It's just been accelerated, is what's happened because of COVID.
Did I see something about Amazon getting into the grocery business? I mean, actual brick and mortar grocery?
You sure did. They've been, that's been going on well before COVID. And I think,
I mean, I've seen the Amazon Goes. I use those.
But. Mm-hmm. No, this is like a 35,000 square foot Amazon grocery concept. The closest to me would be, I haven't seen yet. So I know that one just opened recently in LA. I haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but it's on my to-do list. So you're definitely seeing that as another, you know, call it way for Amazon to capture their existing customers, or actually providing them with another outlet. The other is, you're going to also see, I'll be interested to see what happens with who will emerge as the winner of TikTok, because many retailers use TikTok and they've seen significant new customer growth because of it. And so Home Depot, for example, uses TikTok. So it'll be interesting to see if Microsoft.
When you say uses TikTok for like instructional videos or just straight up promotion. Okay.
Advertisement. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So if that occurs and Microsoft leads it and there's a partnership with Walmart, Walmart, who has, you know, is one of the largest grocers in terms of the number of stores they have, you know, they're right up there, top two in terms of real estate. So they can deploy this very quickly, and it could really feed positively upon itself and drive additional business, you know, to the Walmart consumer or a new consumer.
Okay, that's interesting. So looking out 6 to 12 months, Angie, what kind of predictions do you have for retail? Let's start with the 6 month, and then assume there's a vaccine and there's some sense of normalcy, if there is any, what things will look like in a year.
Sure. You know, we take a lot of our, we do a couple things. So our team really evaluates and monitors, you know, what's going on in other countries, i.e. we were monitoring China, watching how consumers behave there. We also have done the same for Europe, and then start to take those insights and overlay it from information that we're gathering in, you know, some of, call it the, you know, some of the markets, the more dense markets here in the U.S. And what we're seeing 6 months out is a couple things. One is there's still a strong desire for shoppers to purchase in the luxury segment, which I thought would be the reverse, but we're actually seeing a nice uptick in luxury. I don't know if that's, you know, more revenge spend. People are like, oh, I'm just going to spend, but it will maybe kind of slow back down. So that will be interesting to see. I think we're going to continue to see the trend or sales continue to boost in athleisure wear. So that's not going to go away anytime soon. But
Are they going to come up with another name for
I
athleisure? Because
hope
now it's like.
so. I hope so. Yeah, because it's casual. Really, it's really casual wear. I mean, I don't know about you, but I take some pretty long walks off the Embarcadero, and I have to say, from March until now, people are like, they're just dressed from head to toe in their, outfits, their jogging out, their leggings, and so forth, and it's like, wow, this is it's very interesting. So
They have
they're
their
really
Zoom,
dressed
they
up.
have their Zoom shirt at home.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they completely are dolled up, and I mean, with full on makeup, everything. So it's really interesting to see from March to where we are here in August, and the change of how people are dressing. They've elevated their athleisure wear, but I think that's definitely going to continue to see a boost. And also, I think, the casual attire is going to continue to be a little bit, I think that's again accelerated. People are definitely dressed down, but it's sophisticated in a sophisticated way. In 12, so in 6 months, again, many of our retailer clients are still very opportunistic. They have their strategy laid out that's very aggressive. They're going out into the marketplace, looking at sites to either acquire from a land perspective or even just from purely, taking second generation space, because there's quite a bit of second gen space out there, especially in the restaurant, but there's emerging concepts coming out. And so, unfortunately, you have seen store closings that have occurred quite rapidly for a variety of reasons. But there's also a lot of new brands looking at this as an opportunity to, take those spaces and reopen 12 months from now. I think people are going to, come back out and be somewhat cautious. I think there's definitely going to be a segment of our population that will be cautious, concerned, looking and seeking for those retailers or restaurants that will have more contactless safeguards within their space. But I think the majority will say, we're ready. We're ready to come back and keep going. And put this behind us.
Well, Angie, I appreciate your retail insights. You have a great depth of knowledge on it, and I think it's been really valuable. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Dougal. Thank you so much for having me, and look forward to listening more.
Okay, take care. Thank
All
you.
right. Bye-bye.